This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Verderam and Mark Carman. It's our final podcast before the start of the 2020 NFL season. 2 days away as we're recording this one. Matt Verderam, I've got the Chiefs winning on opening night 49-0. You got a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I think it's a bit much. 49-0 would be quite the statement.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to quite go that way. And congratulations, by the way, to Deshaun Watson on the huge contract extension. Well-deserving. I don't think that means that he could just carry them to victory opening night or throughout the season, but he certainly was deserving of the contract.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, Bill O'Brien's done some ridiculous things since he's been GM there. That was an obvious one. And he was always going to get paid the second most behind Mahomes. He got that money now. So I think all is well. Deshaun Watson deserved it. He will, I'm sure, earn it going forward. And now if they could just get him some help, that'd be great.
We'll get into it in a bit here, but I do wonder if he's going to, I don't know if it'll regret will be the word, but maybe just get a little frustrated, more than a little frustrated with his time in Houston. I think that's definitely the likely occurrence here down the line, that even though all that money will be pouring in and himself, his family, his family's family will be set forever, there will be some angst playing football in Houston.
Well, so far, let's be real. He won, what, one playoff game? That was last year against Buffalo. And it's not through any fault of his own. So, like you said, we'll touch on it a little more. But, I do think there's some reason to consider that he might get annoyed as the years roll on.
So we're not putting the Texans in the Super Bowl. Let's start with our predictions to get Stack in the Box going here. And by the way, thank you for listening, commenting, liking, giving a rating. We greatly appreciate it. Verderam, who's your Super Bowl matchup?
So let's get into it right at the top, right? I have Kansas City and New Orleans. That to me, and I picked that last year in full transparency. Last year was the first time I picked the Chiefs to ever win the Super Bowl. I think also to get to it, but certainly to win it. And it happened. 2 years ago, I picked the Pats and the Rams to be in the Super Bowl, and they were, although I did pick the Rams to win. They did not. I will take Kansas City over New Orleans. Look, I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC, although I think there are a lot of good teams in the NFC. We have talked about that throughout the summer. There are, you know, the Seahawks, the 49ers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Vikings, the Buccaneers, I mean, so on and so forth. There's a lot of teams. I am less confident about my pick of New Orleans because of that. That just all it takes is a couple of ill-timed injuries, and all of a sudden they're in major trouble. To me, Kansas City is the obvious pick in the AFC, and not because it would be, you know, nice for my heart if that were to happen, but really just because who's going to beat them? It's pretty much Baltimore. I really think highly of Pittsburgh if Roethlisberger is healthy, which is a huge if. If that's not the case, though, it's pretty much Baltimore and nobody else. And while I think Baltimore is very good, I do think they're going to regress a little bit here. I don't think they're going to go 14-2. I think the Chiefs are probably going to win 12-plus again. They had a lot of injuries last year. They should be healthier this time around. So, yes, Chiefs, Saints in Tampa, and give me Kansas City to repeat for their – it'd be the first time since 04 that a team has repeated.
So I make predictions on what I'd like to see happen. So I'm taking the Bears. Actually, I'm not taking the Bears. But I'm going for the sentimental pick, and at least out of the NFC. And I think a lot of people for that would be, you know, Tom Brady going there. I think the Bucs are getting overbet, and there's just a little too much Tampa confidence for me. And I don't even know if they're going to win the damn division. But I'm rooting for one more dance in the sun, if you will, for Aaron Rodgers, and not necessarily the Green Bay Packers, but the Green Bay Packers, mainly for Rodgers. You're 13-3 last year. Sure, fine. Regress, 12-4, 11-5, 10-6, even 9-7. That might be good enough to get in with seven teams in the playoffs this year. Just one more run through the playoffs. Get hot when it matters most. So I'm picking Green Bay in the North, or in the NFC, rather. And then I will take the chalk in the AFC and stick with you on your Chiefs for the Ram, because I would really enjoy seeing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl one more time, if not many more times. There's no more fun team to watch in the playoffs. I hope that Baltimore is awesome. I hope Lamar continues to shut up the doubters out there, and I think that's highly likely. considering, as you underlined, the lack of power in the AFC right now, like who's really going to challenge them? It's not like they're going to be going through the gauntlet here. But I can't. The only way in my mind that the Chiefs don't do it is if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, and who wants to root for that in 2020? Although that would be very 2020 for Mahomes to get hurt, right?
Yeah. To be fair, it was 2019. He got hurt.
Yeah. And
he was hurt really up until about December. And then he got healthy and they never lost another game.
Right. Right. I mean, hurt, like done for the year, hurt.
No, I understand.
Right. So now that we've got our Super Bowl matchups, who's winning the MVP this year?
I'm going to guess that we're both going to have the same answer on this.
We're not.
Oh, we're not. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know who you're picking, but I'm guessing you don't.
I'm going to take who we're just talking about. Mahomes. I right now, first of all, for me, it's got to be a quarterback. Unless you're just going off the board to have some fun, you got to go with a quarterback because it's always quarterback, right? Like the last time it wasn't a quarterback was Adrian Peterson in 2012, and he rushed for 2,000 yards and dragged the Christian Ponder-led Vikings to the playoffs. So quarterback is the obvious choice. I do not think Jackson will repeat because guys almost never repeat as MVPs. Russell Wilson, I was almost my pick. I love their weapons. The problem I have with Russell Wilson is not actually with Russell Wilson. It's with the fact that the Seahawks do not believe in throwing the football. And so you get these games where Schottenheimer and Carroll are calling one run play after the next, whereas I know in Kansas City, I know they're throwing the football. Like there is no doubt Mahomes is dropping back, throwing the ball 40 times a game. So give me Mahomes. I actually think this year will be to date, the best year of his career. They have more weapons. They have the same coaching staff. He's gotten better. And you look at that team and say, good luck covering them. I don't know who in the world is covering that team. So I'll take him. I think it's going to be a 5,000-plus yard extravaganza.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with my sentimental stack in the box right before the season. He's plus 2,300 to win the MVP. Come on, one more time, number 12. One more time, just carrying Green Bay through the mess, Verderam. What do you think?
What happened to you? You're a Bears fan.
I mean,
I'm not saying you should go homer, but like you're very happy for Aaron Rodgers, bro. Like I will tell you, as a child, like John Elway, I was not rooting for John Elway to have his moment in the sun. Now I applaud you for putting that aside, as you should, when making your picks and having your analysis. But I'm surprised that you are so gleeful about it, considering that you have been a Bears fan your whole life.
Yeah. See, I've never really, and this is going to, for my Bears fans out there, if you are out there, you're not going to appreciate this, but I've never hated the Packers the way a lot of Bears fans hate the Packers. The Bears have never, it's happened like once in my life where the Bears have been good and the Packers have been good. Like growing up, we killed them. And then Green Bay has been so much better that to me, like the rivalry is just kind of ridiculous. I actually probably hate the Lions more than I hate the Packers because they're just annoying. But look, I respect greatness, Matt Verderam, and Aaron Rodgers is greatness. So is Brett Favre. Maybe it's because Brett Favre was just on the Windy City podcast that I'm feeling some love towards Aaron. I also don't like when organizations take a big number two on their greatest players of all time and draft a quarterback in the first round. So I'm kind of wanting to stick it up the old Green Bay yin-yang, if you will. Does that make sense? You feel that?
Yeah. No, listen, I have always loved watching Rodgers, like most people, I think. And so I would be thrilled for him. I'll say this. It's not a bad pick, especially if you're a better, because, man, he is going to have motivation like nobody's business. And I don't think, like, if they get in a situation where he really just wants to drop back and throw it, like, what is Matt LaFleur going to tell him not to? He's going to be, that's nice. And just audible on the you know, line of scrimmage and just go from there. I think he's going to play very well this season. I don't know if I think he's MVP. Obviously, I'm picking Mahomes, but I wouldn't be shocked. Like, it's not a crazy pick. I could see Rodgers having a year where he just says, you drafted Jordan Love? Really? Okay. And throws for like 4,800 yards with Marquez Valdes-Scantling as his number two receiver.
Yeah, that's the scary part. Who is he actually
going to... Adams gets hurt, he's basically throwing to you and me.
Right.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, the great ones, they tend to make guys look a whole lot better than they actually are. which Tom Brady does not have to do as much this year, by the way, down in Tampa. He's got some actual real weapons. I feel like it, also I'm trying to get some bang for my buck here on our fake bets here, Verderam. I mean, Mahomes is the favorite. I mean, what's the point in that? 2,300 to 1. $100 for 2,300. I, you know, makes me feel a little bit.
I wasn't
like
doing Mahomes as a bet. I was just doing, I think he's going to win the MVP. And although if I had to bet money, yeah, I would bet him. Like, I just think it's not, it's every bit as about Mahomes as it is what's around him. They just have an obscene amount of weaponry.
They do. They absolutely do. All right. Let's look at some regression candidates from two teams that were absolutely phenomenal last year. The 49ers, of course, in the Super Bowl. The Ravens winning 14 games in the regular season. Question is, will the Ravens and or 49ers regress in 2020?
I think history says, unless you're talking about the Patriots, that, yeah, they both will. And by the way, regression doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go 7-9. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're both good teams. I think they're both playoff teams. But I do think they'll regress, and here's why. First of all, I think the Niners play in the best division in the sport. The NFC West is loaded. The Rams are probably the worst team in that division, and they went 9-7 last year. Like, they're a decent team. The Cardinals are an up-and-coming good team. Seattle's a really good team. The Niners are going to play a first-place schedule where they're going to get Philly. They're going to get Green Bay. Right? Like, they're going to get New Orleans again. That's hard. Like, and that's not to say, look, they were in a tough division last year with 13-3, but, like, the biggest fear I have with the Niners, other than what I just laid out in terms of the schedule, Garoppolo's not a great quarterback. And teams typically that don't have great quarterbacks, it's very hard to do that year after year after year. You have the great quarterback, kind of a cheat code. If you don't have that, it's really hard to win 11, 12, 13 games every single season. A lot's got to go right. A lot of guys have to stay healthy. With Baltimore, I think they'll regress, but not as much. I think the Niners are more likely to regress. I think the Ravens are still good to really good. I think Lamar is going to get better throwing the ball, and I don't think his legs are going anywhere anytime soon. The question I have with Baltimore is they were incredibly healthy last year. Does that kind of regress to the mean? It typically does in the NFL. I love Jackson's athleticism, but teams are going to make him beat you outside the numbers more and more as his career goes on. He's got to show me he can do it. And the other question I have, and this really, I don't know the answer to this. We're going to find out. This year, there is an inordinate amount of pressure on both Jackson and the Ravens as a whole. You know, last year for them was a lot like 2018 was for the Chiefs. Quarterback kind of comes out of nowhere. It's this magic carpet ride. It's fun. It's exciting. They're the one seed. Everybody's behind them. Now, the Chiefs lost a thriller in the AFC title game. The Ravens had the brake screeched on them in the first game of the divisionals. But the same thing applies. Like, the following year, Kansas City came back, and it was like, if you don't win the Super Bowl, you failed. There's no other way around it. Now the Chiefs did it. Maybe the Ravens follow suit, but that's a lot of expectations to have. We'll see how they respond to them.
I'm going to say that, well, look, San Francisco, Verderam, they have a very weird schedule. Like, they could easily start out the season 7-0. I mean, Arizona at home, win. At the Jets, win. At the Giants, win. Philly at home, going to be favored. Miami at home, big favorite. Home with who are they playing there in week six? That's the Rams in week six. Thank you very much. I've got to read my logos here. I mean, the first half of their schedule is cake. Yep. And then you get to week eight at Seattle. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Green Bay at home, probably win, but getting tougher. At New Orleans, at the Rams. You got to go to Dallas. You got to go to Arizona. You got to play Seattle twice in the back half of the schedule. So I think they could start out great, but it's certainly just, you know, if you go strictly by schedule, could be a very dicey end of the season. If they stub their toe early, they could actually end up not being a playoff team with the way that back end of that schedule looks like. And then you look at the Ravens. You got to play the Chiefs in week three at home, but I don't know. I see a lot of wins on that schedule there. I don't know if they're going to regress. I think maybe if you call regression 12-4, 13-3, I suppose. But I'm pretty high on Baltimore here.
I think Baltimore's very good, by the way. I think they're going to be about 11-5. That's where I've got. The Chiefs are a tough game. They might win, but that's a game they could lose. They have Philly and Dallas. Those are both tough games. Philly, I believe, is on the road. And the other thing is that division is going to be better. If Roethlisberger's healthy, they're not getting Mason Rudolph twice. Like, you know, and those games are always just brawls.
True.
You know, Pittsburgh might win one of those games. Hell, might even win a ball. Those are going to be tough games. I don't think Cincinnati's quite ready yet, although they'll be interesting. Cleveland beat them last year. Maybe Cleveland splits. Like, and then everybody always loses some game they shouldn't. Like, it's just the way it is in the NFL. You know, Baltimore will have some game, like every team will this year, where they just lose some game. I know Colin Cowherd over at Fox Sports has him going undefeated. I say good luck to him. Nobody goes undefeated. I think Baltimore's really good. I just think the division's tougher. You know, they'll be right there. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they won the Super Bowl, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a harder road for them.
I like Colin always taking big swings. Who's going undefeated? I'm going with Baltimore. That'll be something people will remember. Who you got for a dark horse, Matt?
So we've talked a lot about it over the summer, but for people who might just be tuning back in, look, I kind of gave one away. The Steelers, to me, are the AFC one because I don't – here's my rationale on Pittsburgh quickly. Roethlisberger's coming back. He missed essentially all of last year with the elbow injury. Now, all of this hinges on the fact that he's healthy. If he's not healthy, forget it. They're going to win 7 games. He's got to be healthy. But if he is healthy, they have a good offensive line. In fact, a very good offensive line. They have an excellent defense at all three levels. They've got a really good coach. The weapons are okay. They're not great, but Roethlisberger will make them better if he's him. And there's some urgency with that team. Like, Roethlisberger's not going to be around forever. This is kind of it, right? Like, so, and I think if you're going to be a sleeper in the AFC, you've got to have a defense who can stop Lamar and Mahomes. And I just look at the rest of that conference. Like, who the hell's doing it? I mean, Buffalo would be the only other team I'd say that I really think on a good day, like, their defense is certainly good enough to give anybody a problem. But my stumbling block, I just can't get past with them is Allen. I just can't. Like, he's not going into Arrowhead and winning a playoff game. He's just not. He's not good enough. And I feel the same way about him in Baltimore, whereas Roethlisberger could get into a game if he's healthy with either one of them and win the game. Like, he's good enough to do it. So that's kind of how I feel. And then quickly in the NFC, give me Arizona. I don't think Arizona's going to the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona was a wild card team. I think Arizona's got a lot of talent. I love Murray's progression. They signed Hopkins today, the big extension, 2 years, $54 million. I think the Cardinals are an interesting team, provided that they get anything out of their defense.
Can I call the Titans a sleeper?
Yeah, I think you can. A lot of people seem to kind of think they were a fluke. So, yeah, I think they qualify.
I mean, if you look at the South and you're looking – I mean, I'm just looking at all the divisions and thinking, well, who could actually jump up here and get something that they're not expected to get? Well,
right.
Nobody the South is wide open. I mean, you can make an argument for Indy. You can make an argument for Tennessee. And you certainly can make an argument for Houston, obviously. Although it's a thin one once you get away from Deshaun, but that's enough, I guess, in the South right now. I also think that Cleveland is an interesting under the radar, overrated last year, underrated now. Maybe the Browns have a breakthrough, but I don't want to bet on Baker at all. So I guess I'm going with you, Ryan Tannehill. I'll go homer pick in the NFC, Matt Ferderam. That's right. Underrated dark horse one time, Chicago. Let's go. You've got a ton on your defensive side. I'm not picking this to actually happen, but if a dark horse comes through, the Bears are getting no love right now, and their defense is pretty damn strong. So if they literally get anything from their quarterback, like it almost plays out better if Trubisky just starts off the season, plays, gets a win against the Lions, and then just implodes. And now Foles comes in week 5. The defense is great. You sneak into the playoffs, and somehow, some way, Foles gets hot like he did for this,
right?
For the Eagles, and you make a run through.
But by the way, and you know what? I should have put this on the rundown. I cannot believe they're starting Trubisky. What in the name of hell is going on at that franchise? Like, you know what, man? I saw that and really thought to myself, this is the equivalent in football terms of like being in a relationship that you just know is not going to work. But because you've invested 3 years into it, you just can't quite admit that it's not going to work. So you hang on, and then eventually, like, you go and start looking at, like, wedding rings, and you know, you're like, oh, my God, there's no way. And, like, it's that unbelievable finality in your brain that you're finally just like, I can't do this. This is a terrible idea. I feel like with Pace and Nagy, that's where we're at here with Trubisky. Like, they know he's not going to work. They went out and they got Foles and they declined his 50-year option. And yet they're sitting there and they're saying, well, you know, we're going to start him. And look, you know this even better than me. and most people being in Chicago and being in the media as long as you've been, if they thought Trubisky was any good this summer, you would have heard that from the rooftops with them. That would have been leaked out a million ways to Sunday. Oh, he looks great. He's really motivated. You didn't hear any of that. So this idea that like all of a sudden, well, now he's great and Foles just couldn't beat him out for the job. I mean, either Foles' arm fell off or Trubisky stinks and they just can't admit it. I am shocked that the Bears started him.
So Ryan Pace, quote, "The moment he walked in the building, you just felt a different presence and a different mindset, and that carried him throughout camp." Dude, what is wrong? What's wrong with you? Was it the moment that you saw him at Carolina in his Toyota Camry that you just knew you had to draft him over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? The moment he walked in the building? Dude, the moment you saw him in the building, you should have been running the other way. Well, there he is. I don't want to talk to him right now. Let me talk to literally anybody else. What are you talking about? I think they looked at it like this, like, and this is a bad sign, by the way, because I'm guessing that Foles didn't completely blow him out of the water. And you picked this guy, Nick Foles, because you knew him. There was a comfort level there, and it's like, oh, you know, he's really actually not all that in a bag of chips. He's okay. And so if we bench Mitch now, then it's going to be really hard to bring him back. Why don't we just roll the dice and let's see if we catch lightning in a bottle somehow, some way. 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, threw for nearly 600 yards against the Lions last year. Let's give him one more shot. And when he sucks, then we can go to Foles, and we know that Foles can handle that role, whereas we don't know that Mitch can. I think that's probably what happened, at least part of it.
I agree with you. I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right on. And in fact, I think you're dead on. I just, to me, my God. I mean, you traded a fourth-round pick, which, okay, like not that that's like a first-rounder. You traded a fourth-round pick. He's got guaranteed money for 3 years. You decline the option on Trubisky. Bro, just admit it. It's over. It's like he can't play. I've probably watched, I don't know, 90% of Trubisky starts in my you know, time covering the NFL. I mean, he can't play. He's just not good. There's no chance he's any good. Just move on from it. All right, but they can't. They just can't admit it.
Well, and Foles has never played. The most he's ever started in one season is 13 games. He's done that once. He's just been a part-time player. So, which I just, you know, going back to how they actually made the decision to draft Mitch, and there was obviously some weird comfort level going on, and I feel like they did the same thing with Foles. Like, was this the best guy out there? I don't know. No. Cam Newton's about to like light it up in New England. Yeah, and that would have been a riskier play. But
I'll tell you right now, and I know some people might disagree, and I understand why. They should have signed Jameis.
Right, sure.
Like, at least, my God, look, I get he throws a million picks. So what? Nagy is this quarterback guru, supposedly. We'll get him in there and figure it out. I'll tell you right now, if Nagy is as good a coach as I think he is a really good coach. Get Winston in there. Get somebody in there with some talent and say, you know what? Look, we're going to play it out. You're going to get 16 games and your job is not to throw picks. I don't care if you throw for 4,000 yards and not 5,000. Don't throw more than like 14 picks. And if he can't do it, fine. Get rid of him. Get a new quarterback next year. Whatever. We can move on. But I saw that last week and was just absolutely blown away. I cannot believe the Bears are starting Trubisky.
Well, and a lot of the reporters who were reading the tea leaves, they were fooled too because, you know, Matt was saying a lot of nice things about Nick Foles. So some people think, like, was this a Ryan Pace thing? I don't know if it was or wasn't. I would think that the GM would stay in his room and not force the head coach, but maybe the head coach knows deep down that, you know, Ryan would probably really appreciate this, even though it wasn't communicated. I think that's a possibility.
Sure.
But we'll see. Anything else before we move on to Into the Future here?
Nope, let's keep it rolling.
All right, so Into the Future we go. Last year we had two coaches fired during the season. The question is, who will be the first coach fired in 2020? If any, really. It doesn't happen every single year. But no. You got anybody getting fired this year?
You know what? I agree with you. It could certainly be nobody, but if I had to put money, Adam Gase with the Jets. And I know you think maybe Jacksonville, but there's like no pressure in Jacksonville, right? Like there's no urgency. Like, if they're 2-10, are they going to really fire Doug Marone? This is way to the end of the season. Whereas with the Jets, that's a media market where there's going to be some urgency. Like, hey, show us you are at least alive and paying attention and doing something. And you look at the Jets roster, or excuse me, at the schedule, at Buffalo, home to the Niners, at Indy, home to Denver, home to Arizona, at the Chargers, home to Buffalo, at Kansas City, home to New England, at Miami. I mean, what are they, 2-8? They're terrible. Darnold's not gotten any better. They don't have any weapons. The team cannot stand Gase from everything that comes out of that camp. I look at Gase and think, I don't see any way he survives this year, like in totality. So I could definitely see the bye week. Them just going, you know what, Greg Williams, you're the coach for the next six games. Have fun.
Yeah, that would be a lot of that would be some good entertainment. Not that I ever really want to be the guy that's rooting for people to get fired, but a New York implosion is always fun. I think that Doug Marrone's a really good bet here because they. I think Jacksonville will try to act like they're doing something, and Mr. Khan is gonna. He's not the most patient guy over there. I do wonder about the Chargers too. I mean, what happens if they get off to a rough start? Go to Cincinnati, all of a sudden you can lose to the Bengals. Then you come home, you play the Chiefs, you lose again. Now you got Carolina. Okay, maybe you win the game, but now you got to go to Tampa. You got to go to New Orleans.
Right.
That
it's tough. I don't know. You know what? Again, though, like I look at them, who cares about what the Chargers do? 12 people, right? Like, it's just, and I don't mean that as like I'm not trying to knock Chargers fans. I'm just saying the fervor in that fan base is not the same as it is in New York, Chicago, Philly, where if a guy basically, if they're down 7-0 after the second quarter, it's like it's time to get rid of everybody. I think there's more of like, that's all right. Now, look, if you go down the odds, Matt Patricia has the best odds of getting fired, okay? Then it's Marrone, then it's Gase, and then to round out the top six, it's Quinn, O'Brien, and Lynn with your guy, Matt Nagy, coming in seventh.
That's crazy. They're not firing Matt Nagy.
You're not firing Nagy, and Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere. He basically owns that franchise at this point. So to me, the competition really, in my opinion, is between Patricia, Marrone, and Gase. I just think everyone expects Jacksonville to be terrible, so there's not as much pressure.
O'Brien's actually an interesting dark horse. You just gave Watson all this money. Things go sideways. He's super pissed. He just goes nuclear. Get this guy out of here. I wouldn't completely throw that off the table.
Only reason I won't throw it completely off the table. You want to talk about rough starts to the year? Take a look at their first games. At Kansas City, home to Baltimore, at Pittsburgh, home to Minnesota. They could be 0-4 before they blink. So, I mean, yeah. The reason I don't put O'Brien there, look, anyone who's listened to this show knows my opinion of Bill O'Brien. The only reason I don't put Bill O'Brien in there is he just has so much cachet in that building. It really, I think, would take about a mutiny to get him out of there, and I don't even know if that would do it.
Yeah, well, I don't think that a mutiny is off the table in Houston. You've got you got some pretty unhappy people. Well, maybe they're happier now.
If they win on Thursday night, he's going to get a 10-year extension.
He might. Let's look at the NFC East. Dallas or Philly? Who do you got?
I think this is the most interesting divisional battle. Just, you know, the history of the teams, everything else, how tight it's been recently. But I got Philly. And I'll say this. I am very concerned even already about the Eagles and their ability to stay healthy. I mean, we've already seen Brandon Brooks go down with the Achilles. We've seen Andre Dillard go down. Jason Peters is already sliding over from guard to tackle, which, look, he's probably a Hall of Fame tackle, but he's older. We'll see if he can do it. Wentz always has had injury issues. Jalen Reagor, who they love in Philadelphia. Well, guess what? He's already hurt. But I think the Eagles have the better team. I like the defense a little bit more. They got Darius Slay. I think that's a big pickup. And I don't know what I'm getting out of the Cowboys. I don't know what I'm getting out of Mike McCarthy. They lost Byron Jones. That defense is not the same. Gerald McCoy's out for the year as well at the quad. I like in this year, as chaotic as it is, I like that the Eagles have continuity. And frankly, last year, the Eagles had everybody get hurt, and they still beat out Dallas. So I will take the Eagles, although I understand the argument for either side.
So I do believe in Dak having a big year. I mean, if we're looking at extra motivation, certainly has some. The Cowboys, too, if you go back at it, they were +6 in one-score games in 2018. -5 one score games 2019. 11 game swing. Got to go back to 1989. Only five other teams have had an 11 game swing in 2 years, right? So Dallas, at least by the numbers, should be on the plus side here. So I don't love the Cowboys, but I don't love the Eagles. So I just think Dallas has a little bit more talent for him. So I'm going with Dallas. That's my come on, Zeke, have a year, buddy. It would be fun to see Dak play really well and have Jerry just sweating it out, sitting there every time he throws a touchdown pass, zoom to the box and just see him like reaching for his wallet.
I actually wrote about this. Could you imagine the conflicting emotions of Jerry Jones if Prescott throws for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns? And by the way, before people start screaming that that's unrealistic, he almost did it last year. He threw for 4,900 yards and 30 touchdowns. Like, can you imagine if Prescott goes berserk and is like in the MVP balloting? That would be unreal. Great theater.
Yeah, that is something worth rooting for. The East is very interesting. I think the Cowboys do win 10 games this year. How's that? Maybe Philly's sitting right there with them, but I got Dallas with 10 wins. Let's do the AFC West, by the way, and not your Chiefs winning it, but who do you think finished second?
Okay, so first off, let's just start here. Do you think it's fair that I didn't even get into who's going to win the division?
It's kind of it's most definitely fair. A little bit of a dick move, but overall, I think it's right to just, look. I mean, who do you got to give respect to in the AFC West right now? There's no team that even jumps up that's going to finish second. I could literally argue for any of them. It's going to be the Raiders' year, Verderam. I'll tell you right now. I'm going, Mariota's going to push Carr. Gruden's going to have a great year. They've drafted some wide receivers. I got the Raiders. But, I can tell you that Vic Fangio's, the Broncos got hot at the end of the year last year. They were your 7-9 second place finish last year. But I can't say any of these teams are going to beat the Chiefs. It's ridiculous.
So, obviously, I would agree. Now, Mariota's already out at least the first month of the year with a peck issue. So, Carr's nice and safe for at least a little while. We'll see if Mariota does come back. Don't push him. It's possible. I will say Denver, and here's my rationale. I do not believe in the Raiders at all. You and I are on opposite sides in this one. I just think their defense is not going to be able to compete with the better teams in the league. Now, I look at the Chargers, and even without Derwin James, I really like their defense. But then I look at Tyrod Taylor, and I just think to myself, he's never thrown for 3,100 yards or 21 touchdowns in a season. Like, this isn't 1990. They're not winning if he does it. I don't care what's around him. If he's out there throwing for 200 yards a game, it's over. They're not winning, period, end of discussion.
Here comes the Broncos, baby.
So I look at Denver, and I'll say this, I'm picking Denver, but here's the issue. Drew Lock was not good last year. This is the biggest secret in the NFL that nobody seems to really want to acknowledge. Yes, they went 4-1 with him as a starter. The man averaged 6.5 yards an attempt. He did nothing. He threw for 200 yards a game. And I watched all those games. I watched every throw Drew Lock made. Drew Lock was good in Houston, and in the other four games was average to horrendous, depending on which game you were watching. And that's the concern I have. Their line is not good. I don't think Lock is good. Now, I'm also allowing that he should just be better. It's his second year, so I expect him to improve. But my point is, I don't think he's going to be this great player. I saw one article, I won't say where it was, that thinks he might be an MVP candidate. What? There's no way he's going to be an MVP candidate. So, look, I think they're the best team other than the Chiefs in the West because I think they'll play defense under Fangio. I think they do have a lot of weapons. So I think they'll go 9-7. I think they'll go 8-9-7.
He's plus 5,000, by the way, at FanDuel Sportsbook to win the MVP. So it's
throw $5 down on him. But I mean, Jesus, to argue that it's like last year when people were saying that Trubisky was going to be the MVP of the league. What is happening?
That was a sports radio topic that Danny Parkins was able to move forward somehow, and it was utterly ridiculous. I actually think Glock's going to play significantly better this year. I don't know if that means that he's going to be I mean, I don't think he's going to be in the MVP conversation. But it, I mean, Mahomes, the MVP order for quarterbacks right now is Mahomes, Jackson, and then Dak, which Dak should not be fourth. He's tied fourth with Wilson and Brady. Kyler Murray to me is a bigger MVP candidate. Why is so is Aaron Rodgers? Drew Brees is way down the list. I mean, come on, man.
I agree. I like Dak. I do. But I do not think that he should be where he is on that list.
Yeah, that's a little too tall. All right.
Although my God, you want to see Jerry Sweat? That'd be the all timer.
That's true. And I don't know. I suppose with their weapons, he could have a big year too. But okay. What about the crowd noise? Let's look at that for a second. Will the NFL adjust the crowd noise above 70 decibels? Are they just going to pipe in more noise to make it seem like people are actually there? What do you think?
They have to. At some point, they're going to have to. Look, 70 decibels, I looked it up because I know the record in an outdoor stadium is double that. It's 142.2 at Arrowhead. So I started thinking, like, 70 decibels. What is 70 decibels? It's the equivalent of office noise. Like that's not good. That's not nobody wants office noise. Or it's the equivalent of someone running a vacuum in the, like, are you kidding me?
They just don't want dead silence so you can hear everything. That's their whole deal.
Of course, of course. But my argument is you're gonna get coaches calling up the league office saying, hey, look, it doesn't have to be 130 here, but can it be 100? It'd be 110. Can it have the noise maybe of a rock concert? You're going to need that. Because otherwise, look, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm about as confident in this prediction as I am anything that's going to happen this season. If they don't adjust that crowd noise, and that's what it is, you know who's going to benefit? Teams that can play offense. Because they're going to go on the road. They're not going to have any disadvantages. That's always the thing. Look, people always think, oh, it's because noise. Yeah, it is and it's not. The real advantage on the road, or excuse me, the real advantage at home is for the defense in terms of the get off at the line of scrimmage. Okay, you got to go silent count. You've got an easier. All of a sudden, you don't have that at 70 decibels. There's not going to be any silent counts. It's going to snap the ball. So that's a big, big thing in the NFL. A quarter second, a half second of a pass rush is a big deal. I think you're going to have teams that are really good offensively. They're going to have even bigger years. They're going to have huge years on the road if they keep it at 70 decibels.
I'm here for 70 decibels, just for the record. I'm here for 0 decibels. Let me hear every damn thing that happens on that football field in 2020. I'm signing up for it, and I want fans to be back, but that would be a cool thing this year.
Have you ever been on the sideline for an NFL game?
Nope.
Okay, so I will say now, quick story time and stack in the box. I was, let me see, I got them right above me here. Okay, so in 2007, I was a sophomore in college, and I got to go and work for ESPN as a local utility on Monday Night Football. So I ended up doing this 6 times. And I was on the sideline for about 4 of the games. And I remember the first game I was ever on the sideline for, it was Bills-Cowboys in Buffalo. And that was during the TO era and everything else. Marshawn Lynch, by the way, was on the Bills. I'm on the Cowboys sideline. Now, like, I'm toward, like, the wall. Like, I'm not, like, right up on the sideline. But I'm on the sideline. Brady James hit Marshawn Lynch so hard, I thought he killed him. And it was right in front of me. I mean, maybe, I don't know, 20 feet in front of me. It sounded like a bomb went off, right? I mean, just kills him. Now, you know, Marshawn Lynch, I think, was a rookie, maybe a second-year guy. He hits the ground. Brady James gets off of him. Marshawn Lynch pops up, says a word I can't repeat, and just goes, man, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. And then just walks back to the huddle. If I got hit like that, I would die. Okay. So, like, on one hand, yeah, it would be cool to hear what's going on in the field. You'd get, like, that kind of stuff. But you'd also get the 800 words you can't repeat every quarter.
I'm good. And
so there's no way it's going to happen.
I think there should be a parental control put on NFL football, and you can either choose to have your kid get to hear everything that's said or not. I don't know.
It would be unbelievable. I'll say that. Like, you want to do a rating? Put like a Steelers-Ravens game on HBO and just go, look, you know what? You want to hear a football game? Here you go. Because I got to tell you, it would be high entertainment.
I mean, they allowed swearing in The Last Dance. That was on ESPN. Why can't we get some swearing going on your NFL field?
It might be a little different.
Yes, it would. but I think it'd be good for ratings.
Oh, it would be amazing for ratings.
I mean, maybe not family friendly, but that's. I mean, come on. You got to learn the words at some point here. Everyone's going to be okay. Let's do in or out. We got four topics for you. First one is the Dolphins will play meaningful football in December. In or out? Fitzpatrick with the nod, and then Tua lurking around here. What do you think?
I'm in. I think the Dolphins will. I don't think they will get in the playoffs, but I think they'll be like a 7-9 type team. And I think that you know, I could see them 6-7. God knows that division's probably not running away from them. I could see the Dolphins hanging around, what with the weaker division, the 7th seed. I love what Flores is doing there. They had a really nice offseason. I do not think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're there yet. With the caveat, of course, is if Tua comes in, he's just unbelievable. But other than that, I don't think they're there. But, man, I like Miami. Like, I like the direction they're going. So I will say meaningful football, yes. Do they make the playoffs? No.
I'm going hell to the no. I'm in on Cam. I'm in on New England. I'm even in on Buffalo a little bit. Miami's not doing it. Last year's miracle run to 5-11 was just that. Incredible job by Brian. But and Tua's a, what isn't he already knocked around a little bit? Didn't I read that this week?
I believe he's fine. I believe he's fine. I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Man, what did I feel like I read something on Tua. Maybe I didn't. Regardless, I mean, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. Huge fan. Great career. Making the most, you know, getting absolute every ounce out of your talent. And he is good for like one win or two wins a year that you don't think they should get. But I got to be out on the Dolphins. Meaningful games in December, that just seems too tall for me. Maybe I'm sleeping on a vert ramp, but I'm out. Deshaun Watson won't regret signing with the Texans. In or out?
So I am – oh, this is a tough one. I will say that he won't regret it, and I think you and I kind of are on the same point here because you said it a little bit earlier. I don't think he's going to regret it. I think he's going to be annoyed by it because regretting it would say that he's upset that he signed for $160 million. I don't know of anyone who would be upset signing for $160 million, okay? I do think as Mahomes is winning championships or at least competing for them, and Lamar is doing the same thing, and other young quarterbacks coming to do that, and Deshaun Watson looks over and sees Bill O'Brien, and they're going 7-9, there becomes a frustration. I think early in your career, you can live with it a little more. You feel like you're building towards something. But once you get into year 6, year 7, you're like, man, I don't have that much time left. Like, we gotta win now. We got to get going. So I don't know that I think you'll regret it because it's just, look, it's generational wealth. But I think he's going to second guess it at times and say, should I have just played it out? Should I have gone the Kirk Cousins route? So on and so forth.
I think he's going to regret it after week one.
The wow, dude, that was quick. Okay. Well, is it 49-0 as you think, maybe?
I mean, let's not forget here, two ACLs, right?
Yes, college and pro.
So, I don't know. You're going to have so much. Do you trust their offensive line?
No, their offensive line is Laremy Tunsil and four guys I would never trust.
Exactly. So, and do you trust that they're going to try to take that? There's, I mean, the entire load of that offense is on his shoulders, which is sweet. And I appreciate if I'm Deshaun, like, all right, you have this much belief in me. But when I'm getting killed out there time and time again, and by the way, he's got so much. He's not the type, though, that would ever regret anything, right? But I think somewhere deep down, if you put him on the lie detector test, he'd be like, you know what? This just sucks. Because I know that I – or at least I feel like I'm good enough to be winning Super Bowls, and I know it's not happening here. So
I think there will be a frustration that sets in when they're making the playoffs solely because of him some years. And they play a team like Kansas City, as he did last year, and he's throwing the ball – to 84-year-old Randall Cobb, and the Chiefs are just like a circus going up and down the field. You know, I mean, look, if you're Watson, there has to be a level of frustration, I think, even now, to some extent. You know, you look at these teams, you know, the Ravens are investing around Lamar. They're doing everything they can. They build a whole offense around them. The Chiefs have got all these weapons. The Chiefs spent over $600 million this offseason to keep that team together and rolling. And then the Texans didn't pay DJ Reader. Like, they just couldn't afford their star nose tackle. And they traded DeAndre Hopkins because O'Brien didn't want to pay him. And there has to be some level of frustration, even though he'd probably never say it. And I guess from a professional standpoint, rightfully so.
DeAndre Hopkins, by the way, getting a big-time extension, 2 years, $54.5 million, $42.5 guaranteed. His family situation, he's earned it on the field, but with just everything that's went on with his mother, I just think it's really – it's a nice, heartwarming story, and I'm sure Deshaun is very happy for DeAndre and would still be love to be playing with him. Hey, let's do two more here, Vertoran. Leonard Fournette. I'm pausing because, like, Leonard, look, you were pain in the ass in Jacksonville. You had zero value, and now you're going to complain about Blake Bortles and put it on him? Dude, unimpressive, big time. But the question is, Leonard Fournette is an impact player for the Bucs. He's an impact complainer. Even though he had a pretty good year last year, 1,600 total yards from scrimmage, a little bit over. Do you think he'll be an impact player for the Bucs?
I actually do. I don't think he's a great player. I think he'll be a good player. They need somebody to help them in their run game. And they've been high on Ronald Jones now for a couple of years. Like, at this point, show me something. Do it. Because I haven't seen it. And we know that Brady likes to have that pass-catching back. You know, they had James White in New England there for a little while, and Kevin Faulk before that, and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, and Fournette, people always kind of think of him as some guy who has stone hands. He had 75 catches last year. Like, he can catch the ball. Now, I don't think he's a guy who's better in a phone booth than he is out on the dance floor, right? But I think ultimately, does he help them? Yeah, I think he helps them. I don't think he puts them over the top, but do I think he helps them? Yes, I do. So I do think he's an impact player.
I like that. Better in a phone booth than on the dance floor. That's good, Vertoran. Yeah. I'll go in with you on it just because I think Leonard just lucked into perhaps the only guy in the NFL that can get him turned around. Can you imagine what Tom Brady's going to say to that dude if he's not going about his business the right way? And I don't know how you look at Tom and don't come correct. Maybe Leonard's capable of doing that, but I'm going to hope he's not. So maybe it is a perfect spot for him.
There's nobody saying a word to Tom Brady.
I would think not.
I mean, that whole team, I'd have to look at that. Does that whole team combine? Do they have as many rings as Brady? Everybody on the team?
I mean, we did that last week. That basically the whole franchise barely has as many wins as Brady.
I mean, obviously
does.
Gronk has three titles because you won him with Brady. But I'm not kidding, man. I don't think they have as an entire team. I don't think they match up. So, listen, I will say this to your point before you even got the question out earlier. Leonard Fournette should shut up about everything else in Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette was a major headache there. And you know, I'll say this. I'm not like in the business of defending Jacksonville. Like, Dave Caldwell, he's made some mistakes there as a GM. There's no question. Tom Coughlin is a my way or the highway guy. And in 2020, that is a tough sell. I understand all that. But all these guys in Jacksonville who bitch and moan about how much they can't stand it there and they've got to get out. Jalen Ramsey's always tweeting at these guys like, oh, congratulations, you're free. What the hell have any of them ever won? I mean, Jalen Ramsey went to the Rams and did nothing. They didn't even make the playoffs. Like, A.J. Boye, he gets out. He'll go to Denver. Okay, he was in Houston before that. What the hell did he win in Houston? The only guy I'll give is Calais Campbell, and you never hear a word out of Calais Campbell.
Right.
Ever. Calais right. Campbell's been the only professional involved. All these guys, like Ronnie Harrison, is like, yeah, thank God. You're Ronnie Harrison. Who the hell cares what you think? You got traded to Cleveland. Like, what? All these, there's so many guys. Fournette's another one. Like, the guy's number one jack ever. And he's rambling on about how he's so grateful he got out of there. Look, you guys went to an AFC Championship game 1 year. You probably, to be fair, should have won the game, got a bad call, lost, and then fell apart. Like, I don't want to hear it out of any of these guys coming out of Jacksonville at all. Campbell's the only one to give any passing. He's the only person you don't hear from. I'm sick and tired of hearing from all these guys. Like, you never did anything.
Well, ever. Also, hey, Leonard, do you look at where you got drafted in that draft class and how bad people swung and missed on you? Mahomes, Watson, you know, I don't. It's really disappointing because I thought, you know, when he was at LSU, you thought that this guy was going to be unbelievable.
Yes, he looked insane.
I mean, it was like Bo Jackson level almost. Maybe that's a little too tall, but that's kind of what I like. This guy is a physical freak of nature. He can run you over. He can run by you, all of it. And he's been okay, but don't be putting it on Blake Bortles, dude. Come on, man. Let's do Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown plays for a contender after his suspension, in or out?
I'll be brief. Out. I think there are very few guys who have talent that don't get another shot in the NFL. I mean, when you really think about it, and we don't have to go down like the dark, deep history of all this, but there have been guys who have either been accused of or have flat out committed some like unbelievably heinous things and have been right back in the league. So it takes a lot. But when you start calling your GM some very colorful language and you start having one ridiculous thing after the next to the point that Drew Rosenhaus doesn't want to represent you anymore, I'm out, man. Like I just think teams are going to look at him and go, you know what, I'm good. Like I don't think a contender is going to want to rock the boat with him, especially in a year like this where like the slightest thing that goes wrong could be literally catastrophic. I don't think they're going to be looking to bring Antonio Brown in.
June 23rd, fansided.com, actually stillcurtain.com. Two teams have reportedly discussed signing Antonio Brown. It was last year at this time, Verderam, if you remember, I was screaming, cut him, get rid of him, Raiders, it's
you
over.
Were. I give you credit, and you were right. I didn't think they'd ever do it, but they did, and yeah. You were right.
I mean, he just backed them into such a corner. They had no choice eventually. I was like, I mean, even when I first said it, I'm like, they're not going to do that. But then he kept on going, and it was like, oh, my God, this guy's just nuts. But I'm in because somehow, some way, someone's going to get hurt, and the NFL land a 7 zillion opportunities if you got talent. Somehow, some way, I'm thinking, like, maybe it'll be Tom again. Hey, bring him down to Tampa. Somebody just get hurt.
When Brown went nuclear on Mike Mayock and called him a cracker, that was when it was over, right? Like, you do a lot of stuff, man, but like when you go to that level, it's over. And I remember texting around. I texted like three other GMs in the league that day, and I was like, do you think he's going to get cut? And one of them literally responded like, you call your boss a cracker, it's over. And it was over. Like that was like the next day. He got cut.
Was he on the helium balloon when he called him a cracker? I forget.
Oh God, the helium. He came in that whole thing. There's got to be a 30 for 30 coming one of these days. Like he had frostbite on his foot, and he came in on the hot air balloon. And then he had the whole thing with the helmet, and everything. I mean, that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in not only in my time covering the league, but even just watching it, like dating back to when I was a kid, I've never seen anything like that. That was the height of absurdity.
And that's right. I meant the hot air balloon, not the helium balloon. Although, are those the same thing? I don't know. I got to work on my balloons.
They're not the same thing.
They're not the same thing. Okay. Helium is the thing that you, when you inhale it, you get that high voice thing.
You have a funny voice. Yeah. If you tried to pump helium into a hot air balloon, you would just go nowhere.
That wouldn't work. Thank you for listening to Stacking the Box, by the way, to this depth of this show. So you got to helium versus hot air balloon. My apologies. Looking forward here, Verderam, wrapping it up. Outside of the NFL starting, anything going on in the life of Verderam?
Not really. I'm really pumped up. Although I'll share this. So this morning, I come down to the office where I'm currently shooting this podcast. And I always turn on the TV, kind of some background noise. And I turn on the television. I got a sound bar for it. Turn on the sound bar. No sound. It's kind of odd. So I'm like fiddling with it. Like maybe I hit a setting or whatever. Nope. So I'm still looking. I just replaced a television upstairs like 2 weeks ago. It was like 5 years old that just decided like that the backlighting went out on. So I had to get a brand new TV. So I'm not happy about that to begin with. Right. Then I'm looking and looking and like cannot get this TV to work. I call like, I'm like Vizio support. Like, hey, and like, I'm usually pretty good with this stuff. Like technology is actually one thing I'm usually like kind of in the sweet spot with. Can't get it to work. Going through the whole thing. They're like, yeah, it sounds like it's broken, right? I've had this television for 9 months, a 65-inch flat screen. I'm furious. I go through all these things. I'm on Reddit. So finally, I'm heated now. This has been an hour of trying to fix this thing. Last-ditch effort. Unplug the television. Wait 30 seconds. Plug it back in. thing works like a charm. I swear to God, Carm, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Hey.
Like, part of me was infuriated that that's what the solution was. But part of me also was like, that should always be my first decision. Blow on the cartridge.
So, you know, I don't want to be into stereotypes on this show, but as a Jewish man, you know, that would be the level of something that I would fix. Just plug it and turn it off and turn it back on. Unplug it and plug it back in. That's my level right here.
I was so pissed because like I sat there and went through the whole thing. I'm like going through all like the technical steps, like, and then did that and it worked. And, part of me, I was annoyed at myself. So I was like, that should have just been, of course, like the first thing I did. But then I was like, well, why the hell would I do that? Like, there's no reason to do that.
Right, right.
Stupid. The effing thing should just work. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I got Thursday night football coming up. I just bought a recliner that I got in here. Like, I'm ready to go for this. I'm going to get a mini fridge here before Thursday night, jam that in the office. And my damn television, I was ready to go to Best Buy and drop $1,000. It was going to happen. I texted Stephanie. I'm like, this piece of crap's busted. Like I am furious, but I'm going to take this thing out to the dumpster. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm buying a Sony. I'm buying an even bigger television. And she was just like, all right, whatever you want to do. And it worked. So here we are. That's my life.
I'm buying a Sony. I'll wrap up with some of the positive. I was walking around in downtown Chicago over the Labor Day weekend. And, you know, it's been obviously a challenge in the world the last, I don't know, 4 years, this year, 6 months, whatever you want to, however you want to break that one down. But I'm walking on the Riverwalk, right? And it's Saturday in the morning and I was working at the radio station that day. And so I'm walking back at night. And there were so many people who did not look alike, were hanging out, people wearing masks, not wearing masks. Maybe it could have been a little bit safer, but it was just everyone's having a good time. And I'm like, oh, wow, Saturday night, people are out here, they're having a couple drinks, there's people dancing on a boat, there's some kids and family having an ice cream. And I was like, it made me feel good to see that going on in 2020 with everything else that's been happening, especially in Chicago. A lot of people are like, I gotta get out of here, it's too dangerous. I'm like, no, just relax. Let's get some control in the city. We need a little bit more understanding going on. I don't want to get too heavy here, but I really appreciated that walk home, Verderam. So it was a nice moment in my Labor Day weekend.
That's good stuff. I'm glad to hear that. I miss being in Chicago. I miss visiting. Obviously, you know, people, I think, always think I'm based in Chicago. I was. Now I'm like, I don't know, 15-minute drive outside. On Sundays, no traffic here, about 50, 55 minutes.
Okay.
I hustle though down to Dan Ryan. So yeah,
I mean that's a scoot from where
it's like from. 60 miles. It's a 60 miles run.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. Believe me, I do it enough. I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's I miss Chicago. Chicago's great. I do miss it. I look forward to the world getting back to a point where everybody can do that. And I'm sure over the next couple of months it'll be very calm and level headed and we'll all just have a good time.
No, it's gonna be great.
I'm sure it'll be very normal. Can't wait for that. But hey, you know what is gonna be normal? Football. Yeah, you may not have fans. It might be a little weird, but football's football. It's gonna be back on Thursday night. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Stack in the Box. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Appreciate it as always. Thank you for listening so much. We're going to have 2 episodes now starting every week going forward. Plus, we'll have some bonus episodes each week. Our next episode, we will be recording on Sunday night after the games. So it'll be up Monday morning. If you're still commuting to work, it'll be up there for your commute. If you're just waking up and you want to listen to something Monday morning, you can't get enough football, it's going to be right here. So thank you so much for listening. We really look forward to being with you even more here in the upcoming months.
See you Sunday night.